For Jeremiah 49, verse 1. I should have preached on out of Genesis, I think, what it is, chapter 3, verse 7, where it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Yeah. But Jeremiah 49, 1. Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? I want to preach tonight on where are our Pentecostal youth. This is designated this week for our children, and tonight I want to designate it towards our young people and encourage you as a church how important that our young people and our children are in the economy of God. Can you say amen? There was a little boy in Sunday school, and he was asking his teacher, he said, "Teacher, didn't God deliver the children of Israel from Egypt?" And she said, "Well, yes, that's true, son." "Teacher, did not God help the children of Israel across the Red Sea?" "Yes, that's as true as well." "Well, didn't God help the children of Israel march around Jericho and conquer that city?" That's correct, son." "Well, what did the adults do?" he asked. He was hung up on the children of Israel. Amen. What did the adults do? As I travel from church to church, I declare to you tonight that our children, our youth, hold a powerful, sometimes untapped, and productive place of involvement in our Pentecostal churches that has not yet been fully harnessed or accessed or acknowledged. Amen. God did not give us our children simply to become good citizens in society. God did not give us our children simply to become good businessmen or women. God did not give us our children just to become possible world leaders. But God gave us our children to become hell's worst nightmare. Hallelujah. Amen. That doesn't happen without adult involvement. Amen. Now, I know there's some in ministry today and working in our churches and our Christian schools, teaching in our Sunday school classes, working bus ministry. And some of us have not had a Christian home per se. In fact, some of us never had godly parents. And by the grace and the mercy of God, we are where we are today without parental involvement. But I guarantee you this, somewhere along the way, there was an adult that influenced our life. Amen. And that adult had a heart for young people. I'll never forget when my mom and dad were together and we were living in Ottawa. We went to a United Pentecostal church. My dad was Oneness. And we had a teacher. I had a teacher. Her name was Mona Cooper. Sister Mona had never married. She'd never found the right guy, I guess. She was just a single lady all of her life. But she invested her life in her classroom. And I remember not only in the classroom on a Sunday morning, but every other Saturday, it seemed like, at least twice a month, she would take her class on outings at her expense. She would pay for wherever we were going. I remember one trip, we went to the Gatineau Hills in Quebec, across the river there from Ottawa, and really had a wonderful time, and it was just a great thing. And Mona invested, and I'll never forget Mona Cooper. She left a lasting impression on my life. Another gentleman that really spoke volumes to my heart as a young man was a man by the name of Lee Quinn. Lee had a family of two children, him and his wife. My mom moved to Toronto. I was still in Ottawa. I was a junior in high school. And they invited me to come and live with them in their home. That was the first time that I lived in a truly functional home. Amen. My family was messed up. My mom left my dad when I was 5 years of age. They got back together when I was 9. Stayed together for 2 more years, tried to make the marriage work, but it was just chaos at home. A lot of times we were key latch kids, never knew what it was to have a dad, and I've shared, I think, some of that before in a message I've preached here. But I was just privileged to be in the home of a godly man and a godly woman. Lee was on fire for God. He loved to give out tracts. He got me hooked on chick tracts, and I handed out chick tracts by the thousands, would leave them in public restrooms and on restaurant tables and hand them out to people personally and my friends at school. And at a young age of 17 years of age, I was actively involved in evangelism. Although I didn't know much about it, I was eager to do something for God because of Lee Quinn and Margo, who were impacting my life. Amen. Could I tell you this? Amen. I'm not just preaching to Christian families with children tonight, but maybe to couples tonight who have never had children. Or maybe couples tonight, your grandchildren, or your children rather are grown and now you have grandchildren. And maybe even some of you great-grandchildren. Amen. I'm preaching to anybody who doesn't fit in that above category. Where are our Pentecostal young people? I heard the story of a young boy that got saved. He was 8 years of age, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was a revival that they had at their church. There was a well-known evangelist who was known for preaching on salvation, and he preached a message that one morning. He was pulling for souls, and normally people would respond, and not one person moved from that congregation. There was probably a little over 200 there, and that little 8-year-old boy who was filled with the Holy Ghost felt the burden of that meeting and jumped up in his seat, out of his seat during the altar call, and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And he went to one individual and he got their hands and he prayed for them in tongues. And then he left them and went to another individual and grabbed their hands and started praying with them. And pretty soon there were several or eight that had come to the altar and had gotten saved that morning, not because of an evangelist who had a message, a Bible full of messages, but rather from an 8-year-old boy who had a burden, amen, who had a feeling from God, who had an unction to do something in that service. I'm telling you, our next revival may not come, amen, from an evangelist with a fifth wheel, but our next revival may come from our children in our own churches, amen, who will rise up in this generation and proclaim that there is a God in heaven who wants to make a change in people's lives. Where are our Pentecostal children tonight? Amen. Revival may be running around on a bicycle. Revival may be, amen, playing with Barbie dolls. Revival may be playing with jungle gym and with Lego blocks. And revival may be gaming in your front room and you don't even know it. Listen, God didn't isolate ministry to those 30 years of age and older. Amen. God used young people throughout the Bible, whether it was the lad that helped Samson in the last days of his life, or if it was that little maid that made a difference in that king, that captain of the host of Syria. Amen. Whatever it was, it might have been the little lad in the New Testament whose lunch fed a bunch. I'm telling you, God throughout Scripture used young people at various points in church history, amen, to impact this world for Jesus Christ. One of the greatest revivals in history, the Welsh Revival, started, I believe it was with four young men, wasn't it? Meeting for prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, there is potential in our young people tonight. There's potential in our children. And my heart is racing to see what God will do, amen, amongst our young people in this last day and hour. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it, that revival is going to come from our youth. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." The apostle Paul knew that it was his time to depart, and he said to that young Timothy, his son in the faith, in 2 Timothy 4 and 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." But before he said this, he told that young man Timothy, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child," oh yeah, "that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And Paul spent the next four chapters instructing this young man who would take up the mantle of his preaching. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and 1, Paul said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Could I tell you, before we depart, we must impart. And that's exactly what Paul did. And that's what many of you are doing here at the church. You are imparting into the lives of young people. You are investing in their lives. You're making a difference for the kingdom of God. There is no telling what God can do with a young person who is devoted to Him. And that doesn't happen just out of happen chance. It happens because the church, people get involved. Amen. Teachers get involved. Pastors are involved. Pastors' wives, youth pastors, youth leaders. Amen. Adults in the church. I love our children, don't you? Amen. And God's going to use them for His kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We must impart. There is a weaponry. There is a resource. There is power in our pews that scares hell to death. Amen. The devil is not afraid of what we were. He's afraid of what we might become. Did you ever wonder why in the Old Testament that Pharaoh had all of the Israelite boys 2 years age of under murdered? Amen. He was afraid that there would rise up a ruler amongst the slaves that would bring freedom to the Israelites. And that's exactly what happened. Jochebed was not afraid, amen, to go against the mandate and take a chance at being found out. And she took that little baby Moses, hid him in bulrushes, and we know the rest of the story. God raised up a stuttering man of God to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It could be tonight that God has somebody right here in this service who's going to do great exploits for the kingdom of God, and we have an opportunity to invest in them. It could be this week on a Monday night, or a Tuesday night, or a Wednesday night, that God puts His hand upon some young person's heart, upon some young child, like that 10-year-old that got saved in our kids' crusade, that God called to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm telling you, it's exciting to know that we can have a part of it. Glory to God. You wonder why in the New Testament, amen, that Herod had all the babies killed, the baby boys killed 2 years and under. He wasn't afraid of what was. He wasn't afraid of what had been. He was afraid of what was going to come. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil trembles tonight at the thought of what our young people might become for God, what our children might grow up to be. And that's why he has put an all-out attack upon our youth. That's why there's identity crisis. That's why our young people are struggling like they are, because the devil's fighting them like never before. I know you and I, brother, we fought the devil when we were growing up. But I believe there is an all-out attack even greater upon our children and our youth today. Amen, that has ever been before in the history of mankind. The devil knows that his time is short. Amen, but our time is short too. We must do the works. Amen, while it is yet day, the night cometh when no man can work. God has commissioned us. He has given us a mandate, and we must fulfill it. And I believe that that revival is going to come through our Pentecostal young people. Hallelujah. That's why there's abortion. The devil's afraid that another Paul might be born. He's afraid another Timothy might come to the scene. He's afraid another Vernon Jarvis might come to the country. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil's afraid, amen, of what might be, what the possibilities are. Amen. Yeah, they may be going through their terrible twos now and their sassy sixes and their rebellious teens, but don't give up. Don't compromise. Amen. I said, don't compromise. When I was 16, I put my car across the railroad track and waited for the train to come. I was through with life. I hated family. I hated my mom. I hated everybody. I hated myself. And I was going to end my life. But who knows that God had His hand upon this young man at the age of 16. As I laid there on that bench, I could hear my grandma, who was an old-time Methodist pastor's wife, who had helped raise me. And when I was a little boy and I'd get in trouble, Grammy would say, "Now, sonny boy, Jesus wouldn't like that, would He, eh?" And I'd say, no, Grammy, Jesus wouldn't like that. And I'm sorry, Grammy. She said, you don't have to apologize to me, eh? You have to apologize to Jesus. And I could hear her voice when I was laying on that bench. Now, sonny boy, Jesus wouldn't like this, would he? And after 2 hours and no train come, I put it in gear and I went home. 3 months later, I got saved at a youth camp. Amen. Went to Bible school, so tongue-tied, couldn't get up and preach in a normal a student service. Amen. But 31 years later, 35 years later now, preaching the gospel, doing children's ministry, I'm not boasting. I'm boasting in the Lord. It's not anything but of God. Amen. I'm telling you, we've been able over the years to impact the lives of literally hundreds and hundreds of children and young people for God. Why? Because somebody invested in my life. Woo, glory to God. Amen. God said, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why does the Ammonites have superiority over you? Why are they living so close to your cities? Why are they occupying the land that I promised you? Do you see the significance of this verse? If Israel had stayed true to God, if they'd have raised their children right, if they had have obeyed God's commandments, they wouldn't be in the predicament that they were now. Could I bring this down to 2019? We may not have done everything just right. We may not have seen the great revival that we hope to see so far this year or last year. Amen. We may not have, and in fact, there may be some Ammonites living pretty close to us in our generation. But could I tell you this? And I speak very carefully. One of the first things we focused on when we took that pastorate in Arizona many years ago, it was our young people. They were struggling. There were very few. And we began to take them to youth camp. Yeah, we drove 24 hours straight through all the way to Missouri to go to a holiness youth camp. And we did that for several years. You know how our church turned around and became a holiness Pentecostal church? It was because the children got a hold of the power of God at youth camp and went home and made a difference, not only in our church, but in their homes. They're the ones that convinced their parents to live godly in Christ Jesus. They're the ones that took the stand. And finally, the parents followed in tow. You know why revival came to Desert Cove Assembly in El Mirage, Arizona? It was because of the young people, amen, who oftentimes would shout. I know as we get older, I don't shout as much as I used to. Amen. And maybe that's to my detriment, but I sure love to see the shout. I know it's not all in the shouting. I understand that. But nothing blesses my heart more than to see a young person with their hands raised to heaven and the Holy Ghost hit them and them take off a running or a shouting or a dancing or a jumping. I mean, doesn't it bless you, sister? I'm telling you, it does something for my soul. It makes me want to get right in the middle of them. I see at youth camp some of our young people in a huddle, you know, and they're just praying sometimes for an hour or 2 hours. I just want to get right in the middle and say, oh, I want to feel that again. Don't you? Hallelujah. Where are our Pentecostal youth? Amen, amen. I'll tell you what, we need to raise some more Moseses and Joshuas and Calebs and Davids and Deborahs and Marys and Marthas and Pauls and Timothys and Lydias. We need some more life changers. We need some more champions. Amen. I want you to notice another verse here tonight, Psalms chapter 127. A few verses here, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to transition the message here just a little bit. I want you to notice what David said in Psalms 127, verse 3. He said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I made a declaration at the beginning of this service. Let me reiterate it. I said, I declare that our children, our youth, hold a powerful, untapped, productive place of involvement in our Pentecostal churches that has not yet been fully harnessed or acknowledged. Brother, sister, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, amen, church goer, whoever you are, Sunday school teacher, Christian school leader, God is using you, amen, to take our young people to a higher level and a higher plane in Christ Jesus. Jesus. Amen. We need to tell our young people, you don't need to be ashamed. You don't need, listen to me, young people, tonight. You don't need to be ashamed to be Pentecostal. You don't need to be ashamed of how you look and how you dress and who you are. You don't need to be ashamed of the fact, young men, that you look like young men. God bless you for looking like boys. I didn't see your pants dragging tonight when you came in. I didn't see orange underwear. Amen. I didn't see the little fuzz on your chest because they don't know how to button up a shirt. Amen. Praise God. I saw some good looking young men coming into the house of God tonight. I saw some others over here. Some of you young ladies, thank God. I didn't see you coming in tonight. Amen. With a little slit miniskirt. And I'd have to look somewhere else because of embarrassment. Amen. Thank God our young people know that they're boys and that they're girls. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. And our young people need to realize that they are important to God. They are a peculiar. Yes, I know we get criticized and ridiculed and mocked. And people look at my wife and daughter the other day at Cracker Barrel. These little boys even. And their dad kept staring at them. And my wife said, you'd think they'd never saw women in a dress before. Hello. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, our young people are important. Amen to God. Don't be ashamed of speaking in tongues. Don't be ashamed of shouting. Don't be ashamed when God pushes you to run the aisles. Don't be ashamed to pray in the altars. Don't be ashamed to be involved in the gifts of the Spirit. God may want to use some of you, amen, in the gifts of the Spirit in a church service. Amen. Oh, don't be ashamed of the God that we serve. He's done so much for us. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you? Hallelujah. Psalms 127:4. Let me illustrate this as I close. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Tonight, let me do it this way. Brother James, Brother Keith, where are you at? Come help me out, gentlemen. And Brother Jarvis, I want you to pick 5 young people for me that can run. 5 young people. Yeah, they can run. They're going to run tonight. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Maynard. Sorry. Yeah. I'm 54. You gotta forgive me.
I forgive you.
All right. And anyways, you just take one at a time and hold it right here. Just hold it between you. They're just bullseyes. All right. Oh, just young, old, don't matter. Just 5. Just pick 5. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there you go. Just like that. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 5. 5 and no jive. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, buddy. All right, Brother Jarvis, you're going to be the mighty man. You're going to be the arrow that shoots him. Y'all come over on this side, guys. Come over here with the young ladies. So just come over here, Brother Jarvis, and you're going to be the man that pulls the bow and shoots the arrow, and all 5 of you are going to be arrows. And when I say go, one at a time, you're going to run over there and punch through that bullseye. All right? Just tear it to pieces. All right? Praise God. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Again, Psalms 127:4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The adult represents you and I. The mighty man, that represents you and I. This is our opportunity to propel our Pentecostal youth forward. Amen. Sometimes they're a little too shy to go on their own accord. Sometimes they just need a little propelling. Sometimes they need a little encouraging. Sometimes they just need a little push. They just need a little shove in the right direction to get them going. Amen? And that's what you and I are responsible for. The first arrow tonight I want to talk to you about just briefly is the arrow of doctrine. So pick one of those. Pull your bow back, brother. Amen? And let it go. Ready? Pull it back and go. Arrow of doctrine. There he goes to the bullseye. Yeah, wow. I mean, he went right through that, didn't he? Good job, buddy. Just stay right over there, all right? The arrow of doctrine. Grab another bullseye. Amen. Paul said to young Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Not only if young people will follow the doctrine of God, if you will follow his commandments, if you will understand what the Bible has to say, not only are you going to save yourself, but those that you contact, your friends, those that you have friendship with, God's going to use you, amen, to save somebody else as well as yourself. Amen. Church, that's why we need to propel them forward. We need to have Bible quizzes. We need to teach them the books of the Bible. Amen. It's a shame. In this day, we have all the stats down of all our favorite sports teams, but we can't even find Malachi when the preacher says, turn to the book of Malachi. What page number is that on, by the way? And you understand, we need to know the 12 disciples. We need to know the 10 commandments. We need to be able to tell who the disciples were and things that are pertinent to God's plan of salvation. We need to know the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, 6:23, and all of that. We need to understand that. No Bible doctrine. Amen. We're raising Pentecostal children to know doctrine. Number two, the arrow of righteous living. On your mark, get set, and go. The arrow of righteous living. Yeah. Those targets are a little tougher than we thought, huh? Good job, sis. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Church, we know that we have to live it, don't you? You can't just tell your child you do this and you don't do it yourself, right? That's elementary, isn't it? Amen. We need to live it. Our kids do not deserve a compromising church. Our kids deserve a holy church. Our kids deserve a church where people know the difference between right and wrong. They deserve a church that's free of hypocrisy. Amen. So we need to have a relationship ourselves. If we believe in our children, if we want to invest in our children, we need to be prayed up ourselves. Amen. If we want to see them shout, let's do a little shouting ourselves. I remember Courtney as a little girl. She used to imitate, amen, people in the church. And that's good. Amen. If there's good people to imitate, praise God. And fortunately, she picked the right ones to imitate. And sometimes you'd find her preaching or shouting or doing something. In fact, if you ever see my wife and Courtney shout together, they shout identical. You know where Courtney learned to shout? She watched her mama shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we need to teach them to live righteously. I'm glad that we can teach our children, amen, how to look right, act right, talk right, smell right even. Amen. It's important for the economy of God. And we have a wonderful advantage of helping them, don't we? Raising our Pentecostal children. Amen. Number three, the arrow of ministry. On your mark, get set, and go. The arrow of ministry. Yeah, there we go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians 4 and 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Could I tell you yet? I believe that the greatest pastors have not yet taken the pulpits of our churches. I believe the greatest revivals have not happened yet because of the evangelists in our youth that have not yet booked them. I believe that the greatest teachers haven't taught our Sunday school classes yet, but just wait, they're a coming. Amen. Listen, we didn't dedicate our children to the Lord, amen, just to be ball players or, you know, I'm not against playing ball, but we didn't dedicate our children to the Lord to become professional athletes. But if they do, if that's God's will, so be it. But I'll tell you what we dedicated our daughter for was for ministry. We said, God, however you want to use her, amen, we want to make her available to you. And what greater joy than to have your children, amen, be involved in ministry. I realize it's not all just the fivefold. There's so much more to that. But I believe we ought to propel them forward in ministry. Amen. Let's give them every opportunity to do that. Let's create an environment at home as well as we do at church. Amen. I believe that, you know, we're not just the fivefold ministry, amen, but all the other facets of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28, God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. I'll tell you what, we need to teach our children how to do helps. Amen. Oh yeah, how to clean up after fellowship dinners, how to help around the church, how to do little projects. I remember as a young man, I wanted my mom, I begged her to buy me a propane torch for Christmas. I was 13. 13-year-olds don't have no business having propane torches. I like to burn the house down. I melted all my matchbox cars, and then I started on something else, and it was mom's, and she wasn't too happy. And then I begged her for a soldering iron, and then it went from that to a skill saw, and I have the marks to prove it. Amen. Almost took my hand off. I'm telling you, but when they get to that age where they get to be responsible, amen, let's teach them. Amen. One thing I can't stand is lazy young people. Hello. Praise God. I'm getting a little pastoral right now. We've had a few ministries from some of our Bible schools, and I appreciate the young ladies that get in and help in the kitchen and the gentlemen, amen, who avail themselves and ask the pastor, what can we do to help? Now, I've always said to myself, those young people are going to go far. Then I've looked at a few other lazy ones, and I thought to myself, shame on them. They ought to know better. Maybe they never got taught. Maybe I need to teach them. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I had a gentleman I was training as an EMT, and he got on the ambulance, and I said, so what propelled you? What made you want to become an EMT? He said, it's a gravy job. We get to sit around most of the day and watch TV. I said, really? I said, is that the reason you want to become an EMT, is to watch TV? And he said, yeah, mostly. He said, I'm tired of working. I said, you'll never make it as an EMT. You'll never make it in this medical industry. And he didn't. And within 3 weeks, he was out, partly because I told my supervisor exactly what he said. We don't have room for lazy people. When it comes down to life and death matters, somebody's in cardiac arrest, we don't need some lazy EMT or paramedic coming in, you know, just half shod, you know, just like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now, you know. Bless God, if you'd have listened in class and then put yourself to instruction, you'd know what to do and save somebody's life. I'm telling you, the same is true. Young people, don't be lazy and put your hand to whatever you can do. Do it with all your might, all your heart. Give it all you've got. It might be just scrubbing out a toilet. Amen. I learned a lot of skills in Granite City as a youth pastor under the direction of Brother Leon Belt and Brother Larry Heath. That man is a jack of all trades, and Larry taught me a lot of stuff about how to do plumbing and electrical. Amen. How to do roofing, how to clean, all these things. I'm telling you, we need to propel them in the area of gifts in our church. We need help. We are wearing out. We need our children to step up, amen, and teach them how to do that, and teach them responsibility, amen. You can tell the children who are given everything on a silver platter. You know, they graduate from, I need to move on. Yeah, propel them forward. Get off my hobby horse. Teach them. Give them an opportunity to do mission work. Teach them how to build and go to a foreign land and help build a church. Maybe all they're doing is gophering, but teach them to be a good gopher. We need good gophers for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? We need godly gophers. Praise the Lord. We need to make a t-shirt like that. I'm a godly gopher. Go for this, go for that. We need to give them opportunity to go to youth camp in Canada. I had to put that plug in and help the Johnstons out. How about music ministry? Y'all have great music ministry here. Let's get our children involved. Let's get them teaching them. Let's give them lessons. Let's pay for her. You may say, I can't teach them, but send them somewhere. Give them voice lessons. Anything wrong with that? You know, we've been in Pentecost long enough, and we've had Sister So-and-so be requested to sing, and she got up and sounded like an old wash tub. Amen. I'm thank God for the anointing. It really makes a difference, don't it? Amen. But give them voice lessons. There's nothing wrong with our Pentecostal youth being talented, learning how to play proficiently. They did it in the Old Testament. I mean, they had singers, and they had all of these things. The Chenaniah, he was chief chief of the Levites. He was instructed about the song because he was skillful. We need to teach our children how to play instruments. I taught Courtney how to play drums. That's why she played tonight. I taught her how to play as she was a 9 and 10 year old girl. We didn't have a drummer in the church. My wife, when they had a church split, they didn't have a pastor for some time and never had a piano player. And my wife had taken a few lessons and a few theory things. And my father-in-law said, "Anna, get on the piano and give us the key." And they took off a singing. Her, the only thing she knew was G at the time. I'm telling you, you never know what God can do with our young people. They may not be able to be talented. I had a Bible school roommate. We had to hymnology. We had to write our own song. He wrote a song and asked me to put music to it. And I play piano a little bit. And I told him, I said, "Mike, I said, if you're looking for a good grade, I don't think you're going to get it." He put a song together. He said, the Lord is prepared. The Lord is prepared. This is how he sung. The Lord is prepared against the day of battle. I was like, oh boy, it's going to be a battle to get any kind of good grade on this song. Let's just pray God anoint you. Amen. Some people can't sing. Amen. I know some of you try in the shower. Amen. And the next door neighbor's ready to call 911 thinking there's a tragedy in the house. But oh God, let's give our young people every opportunity. Amen. To be proficient in ministry. Number 4, the arrow of seed sowers. On your mark, get set, go. The arrow of seed sowers. I'm glad he stopped. Psalms 126 and verse number 6 says that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I know that deals more so with soul winning, and certainly we could add that as an arrow. But I want you to notice something here tonight about that verse. There is a law in this verse called the law of the harvest. And that has to do with sowing and reaping. Your child may never be a pastor. They may never be an evangelist, a missionary, an apostle, a prophet. They may not be very good at singing. They may not do a lot of in the light positional things. But I'll tell you one thing God can do with your child is give them the ability to make money. Yeah. To make money. I'm preaching about the arrow of seed sowers. You see, God may bless your child with the ability to have such a mind to turn a dollar and make two. God may bless your child, and that'll be a benefit to you, parents, won't it? You hope. Amen. But God, what a blessing that would be, wouldn't it? Amen. What a blessing that would be to the local church to have business-minded men and women who are able to make profits in order to help the ministry, because the ministry takes money. It takes finances. And maybe your child may never be that flaming evangelist, but they might be that person who owns one day their own company and is able to help young evangelists get on the field or give voice lessons or pay for voice lessons or send somebody to Bible college. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And what a blessing it is. And some of you are maybe in that position now. That gentleman that paid for our meal today was in a position to be able to bless the ministry. Amen. That's a seed of sowing. Amen. And I believe our children can be that as well. Oh, yes, they may never be a musician, but they can be influential in helping somebody else in ministry. Oh, hallelujah. Number 5, and lastly, the arrow of worship. On your mark, get set, go. The arrow of worship. Praise God. Oh, you want to rerun at that? No? All right. John chapter 4. Thank you all. Let's give them a hand. You may be seated. John chapter 4. Come to the piano, Sister Anna. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We already touched on this, but we need to be examples of worship. Let's teach our children how to worship. Teach them how to praise. Teach them how to get in a service. Teach them how to be Pentecostal. God said, "Hath Israel no sons?" Where are our Pentecostal youth? I'll tell you where they're at. They're right here tonight amongst us. I want all the children, all the young people, y'all probably should have just stayed up here. But I want you to come and stand at the front. We're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe God to do great and mighty things. Come on, all you children, all you young people, come up and stand across the front here. And then all the church is going to come in and pray for you tonight. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a Promise Keepers conference. And I didn't know a lot about it. And I pastored there in Arizona. And we went to Oakland, California. And a buddy of mine went with me and my Sunday school superintendent. And the last night of that conference, and there were 48.